I'm going to say this as straight as I possibly can. I am begging you, if you're a parent and you've got kids there, that this subject is just too upsetting for your young children. Please get them out of the room or change the station. We urge you to exercise parental discretion.
Hey, Uncle, how much you give me for this radio, huh? Now, this hot little old radio, man, is worth plenty of rubles, man. It's got lots of juice. You got shortwave, police call, boats. Late at night, man, you get out of space. Come on, Uncle, just make me an offer. Now, this is a $100 radio, man. It's got a clear tone. Boy, that's clear as a mother's old bell. Let me see. Come on, baby. Show the man your power, baby. Blast him! Give him some of that tone! Oh, man. You radio, you mother!
Hey, Jim, what about TV? You like TV?
What? New thing, Jim. Television. Oh, pictures.
Yeah.
No pictures.
Why not?
Everything these days is pictures. Pictures and a lot of noise. Nobody even knows how to talk. Just grunt at each other.
Babies that were sacrificed for Satan.
I will probably have nightmares tonight about it.
From the nightmares, to the running around the room when they disclose, to the latching on, to the crying and saying, Mommy, 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 don't go out, because if you go out, they're going to kill you. Threats, intimidation, fear.
Now, if you're going to stay cool, you got to wail. You got to put something down. You got to make some jive. Don't you know what I'm talking about?
Well, that's all I'm saying.
You're a bad man. You're a very bad man.
Rejection of parental values. Unusual interest in books on Satanism, black magic, or witchcraft. Obsession with rock music groups using satanic symbols or references. Rejection of friends. Preference for being alone. Meditation, chanting, use of new vocabulary.
Is it the force of evil? Does it disrupt? Is it a force for everything negative?
There's two kind of laws, honey. One for the rich, and one for the poor.
He sees all and knows all. He's wise. He's kind. He is fair. He loves truth and goodness.
Listen, you screwheads. Here is a man who would not take it anymore. A man who stood up against the scum, the dogs, the filth. Here is someone who stood up.
Hey, buddy. This is a state of New Jersey, and I don't care who you are.
Oh, yes, well, don't think about it too long. Just say the first thing that pops into your mind.
Cabbages, knickers, it's not got a beak.
Good.
Oh, you guys like to tell jokes and giggle and kid around, huh? Giggling like a bunch of young bros in a schoolyard. Now, let me tell a joke.
Hello and welcome to Aerial View on WFMU, Uppsala College, East Orange. My name is Chris T. And to some of you more experienced listeners, people who have been around this show for a while, you may notice that I sound a little different today. You may notice that my pronunciation of certain words is different today. You may notice a slight sibilance in my speech patterns that wasn't there last Friday. Well, there's an explanation for that, my friends. I'm missing parts of my teeth. Yes, my two front teeth. Now, let me tell you how this happened, because you're probably saying, Chris, how did this happen? How did you come to be missing parts of your front teeth? And what can we do to help? Well, I'll tackle the first one first. I was helping a friend, a coworker of mine, with a video project. I was appearing in this video project as a character who is a biker. And the series itself is about bikers who meet aliens, kind of an exploitation thing. So we were filming at this local bar in the good town of Hackensack, and I had had a bad day. I think really all I wanted to do was go home and go to sleep, and instead I found myself in this bar doing what I said was a favor for a friend. The scene began. I was drinking a Budweiser Tall Neck. I had just put it up to my lips. It was pressed against my teeth. And the person opposite me, who was playing the enthusiastic alien who discovers beer for the first time, smashed the bottom of my bottle with his mug, pushing in my teeth and cracking them. So I was spitting out bits of tooth, and I was kind of stunned, because I have to admit it hurt. I have a low threshold of pain. Well, anyway, I got up to leave. I was kind of upset. And my friend, the person I work with, my coworker, who was directing this this shoot, came over to apologize to me, to offer me some money, to see if he could help in some way for me to repair my teeth. And you know what I did, friends? I belted him. I punched him and broke his nose. And I've been living with that guilt ever since. I feel terrible about it. I feel I should be punished. But I don't know what kind of punishment would be sufficient. Maybe you can help. The phone number here is 201-678-7743. Today's show is about punishment. Let the punishment fit the crime. That's what I say. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi, Chris.
Hi.
You left out the part that you had a cigarette in your hand and you should burn in hell, Chris. I bet your teeth didn't hurt as much as his nose. Now, did it?
Well, left out the part that I had a cigarette in my hand and I should burn in hell? See, now, that's very interesting, because that is the fella's girlfriend. The fella whose nose I broke. The odd thing about this is I think that I could patch things up with my coworker. I think I could explain to him that I was angry, I was upset. It's a thing that happened. And I think I could try to set it straight. But boy, his girlfriend wants to tear my head off. I can understand that. But, you know, I don't know what to do about it. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hello.
Yes.
I'd like to tell him what should be done.
Okay. Can you turn your radio down, though?
Oh, yeah, okay. I got it. Fine. I think you should be flogged as the gentleman's being flogged in Singapore.
Flogged or caned?
Or caned.
Okay. You think I should be caned?
Of course.
I may agree to that. You never know. Thanks for calling.
The man who hit your beer bottle should be caned, too.
Well, that was an accident.
Of
See, I already have forgiven him, even though I can't replace my teeth. My teeth are gone. They're not coming back. And although I feel terrible about the broken nose, I think it will heal. And hopefully it will be the same as before.
Well, there's...
I'm not saying that forgives what I did. I'm saying that there were two bad things that happened that night, and neither one of them were intentional. They were both accidental. Do you see what I'm saying?
I believe the karma will equalize between the two of you.
Thank you for calling.
Goodbye.
It's just very hard to make that understood. Hello, welcome to the air.
How you doing? Yeah, I've got a good idea. I think I've got this very anxious baboon. I'm thinking maybe he can sodomize you. That'd be a pretty...
Thank you very much. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hey, Chris.
Hi.
Well, I think you might want to think about therapy.
Therapy?
Yeah, I've been listening to your show for a while, and I heard that horrible story about the Turnpike incident.
Right.
And this stuff just doesn't happen to most people.
Okay, well, you know, I'm in therapy.
Oh,
so
maybe you should go more often.
Maybe I should go more often.
Maybe you should.
I spoke with my therapist about this.
So what did your therapist have to say?
My therapist said that, you know, well, first thing she wanted to know was why I put myself in the care of people who would get me into a situation where my teeth would be broken. She felt that I don't take very good care of myself, and she wanted to know why I was in a situation where my teeth would be subjected to breaking, to getting cracked.
It doesn't really sound like that was very likely to happen.
Well,
in that situation, was it?
There was very little control over the situation. See, there was nothing discussed. There was nothing planned. There was nothing that was, there was no kind of rehearsal or, there was really nothing that kind of allowed us to know what was going on. You know what I mean? And when this scene began, you're talking about a bunch of amateur actors and people who get very enthusiastic about the parts that they're playing, and they get carried away. They let it, it carries them away. Now, I understood that, and I figure, well, this is something I'll have to live with, that my teeth are a different shape, and I don't talk the same way. But, you know, forgiveness is a very powerful thing. And I forgave the person because I said, okay, it wasn't intentional. You didn't mean for it to happen. But I'm looking, I guess, for the same thing from the person whose nose I broke. And I got the idea today when I spoke to him at work that perhaps he understands that I was angry and I wasn't really seeing too straight and that I was just really acting on a total sort of impulse and not thinking too far ahead, which I guess is a problem that I have, you know?
Right. I mean, I think, you know, it's good that he should forgive you. But, I mean, it's really a matter of whether or not you can forgive yourself. Because if you continually act like this, I know that I couldn't forgive myself for it.
If I continually act like what?
Like this incident and the incident on the turnpike.
I don't think they have anything to do with each other. Frankly, I really don't.
Well, to me, it seems like getting angry in both cases in a very inappropriate manner.
No. I don't see the relation between the two. I think if you think about it, you'll see that they're two different incidents altogether. I know you really want to make a link between them, but to me there isn't that link there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean I know what you're saying. I don't agree with
you. Have
you
ever been spitting out your teeth?
No.
Okay.
I never have. Although I've gotten very angry at people and
But have you ever been spitting out your teeth?
Well, no, I haven't.
Okay. I see. Well, then I don't know that you could compare. I don't know that you could say that the one thing is equal to the other.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think it takes a lot of imagination to.
I was very.
I think it takes a lot of imagination to imagine this situation.
I was very angry. I would have punched Mother Teresa if she came up to me at that point. You see, I was just very angry.
Yeah, but
okay?
You shouldn't have been so angry.
Well, I should have been so angry because my teeth were missing. Parts of my teeth were missing. That makes me angry. That's something for me to get angry about.
Yeah, but it's obviously not something that you need to, that you should strike back at someone about, because then you yourself felt so terribly guilty about it afterwards that it's bothering you enough to do this show tonight. And if you acted in an appropriate
we're talking
manner,
about,
you
we're,
wouldn't have done it.
We're talking about punishment tonight. Listen, you know... It sounds to me like you're more than willing to cast the first stone. So thanks for calling this program.
Okay.
Thanks. Bye. Bye-bye. Hello. Welcome to the air.
I think you should just be grateful that space alien didn't take you up into his spaceship.
Okay. Thank you. What the hell was that about? Okay. The phone number here is 201-678-7743. This is Aerial View. And I guess we're speaking about punishment this evening. Somehow the topic has turned to what is being seen as my uncontrollable temper. Frankly, I don't think I have an uncontrollable temper. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Martha.
You want to punish me?
What have you done?
I've done lots of naughty things.
Martha, I'd like to punish the person who bought these new headphones.
Why?
They're terrible.
They're cheap?
No, they're probably expensive.
Yeah?
Anyway, Martha, what do you want to be punished for?
Oh, lots of dandy and fun things that I call fun and other people call problems.
Destruction of property.
No, that's only for nice people. Oh, lots of things. Lots of love.
You got to be a little more specific on this program, Martha. I won't let you get away with being so general.
Well, oh, now I'm confused. There's so many.
Name one, Martha.
Well, the time that... No, I can't. The time I blew up my neighbor's window.
Why did you blow up your neighbor's window?
I
How did
17,
that happen?
Uh-huh. And they didn't like me.
I don't know. Irresponsible things you do at that age don't count, because we all do those things.
Yeah, but I almost hurt somebody.
Well, we all almost hurt somebody.
Yeah. You got me low tonight. How can I get you back up?
I don't know. Let's just talk. Let's just see where this thing goes. Let's see how we feel in half an hour, 45 minutes. You don't know. We might feel good.
If I send you a letter.
Yes?
And you never received it because it was a picture of me naked, and I know you would have said something.
I never saw that letter. I never got that letter.
Did I send you things registered?
I don't know, Martha. It's weird. Why would someone steal a picture of you naked?
I don't know. There's weird people in this world.
I would certainly like to see that, so if you want to send another
one. I think you should punish the person who stole it.
We'd have to find the person first. Anyway, thanks for calling.
Good night, Chris.
Good night.
Cheer up.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Anyway, I guess my guilt is this. See, I'm guilty because I hit the entirely wrong person. The person I hit is one of the kindest, gentlest, sweetest people I've ever known. He's always gone out of his way to help me. He's always gone out of his way to be friendly. And I just, you know, I knew as soon as I did it that it was the wrong thing to have done. But you can't take it back. You know, there's no way that I can reverse time and take that action back. It just can't be done. So I have to live with the guilt. The number here is 201-678-7743. Hello, welcome to the air.
Can I ask you a question about your therapist?
Sure.
What do you think of that comment? You shouldn't have put yourself in that situation. What she's saying, she is saying, is you shouldn't have been drinking a beer in a bar.
No, I think you misread what I said. First of all, you're not. That's not what I said. We're playing a game of telephone here, and you're repeating it back in the wrong way.
We are on the telephone.
I understand that. What she said is, I'm just concerned that you put yourself in a dangerous situation like that. Why did you entrust yourself in that way, in a dangerous situation?
The dangerous situation being?
With people who, you know, were inexperienced at what we were supposed to be doing. We were, you know, acting means that you pretend.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that you actually do. It doesn't mean...
You weren't doing stunts or anything. The person was flailing his arms, is that it?
No. The person had a beer mug in his hand.
Mug.
And I had just raised my bottle up to my lips, yeah. and he hit the bottom of my beer bottle as hard as he possibly could with his beer mug to simulate his enthusiasm. But rather than simulate enthusiasm, he was truly enthusiastic.
So that's the way the scene was supposed to go. He was supposed to hit your bottle.
No. No, there was never any discussion about the way the scene was supposed to go.
Oh, I see.
No. The only discussion before the scene was, well, you know, you're an alien. This is your first taste of beer. You really love it, you know. And so the whole thing escalated to this point where everyone was... You know, where the, you know, acting is about choices, like Andy Breckman himself says, who, of course, is one of our true stars of the theater. And the thing is, you know, his choice at that particular moment was to show his enthusiasm by wrapping everybody's bottle with his mug.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, he wrapped my bottle when it was up against my teeth.
Right.
You know, I understand that was an accident, but I was extremely upset. By the idea that I was parting company with my teeth.
I would be, especially over something as silly as an alien enjoying beer.
And I lashed out. But as so often is the case, we lash out at the wrong people.
I'd like to say that I don't think you would have hit Mother Teresa.
You don't know. That woman has pushed me too far on a number of occasions. You don't know.
As far as punishment, I don't know. I mean, if you can consider... Don't consider how you lost your teeth, but
I think wearing these headphones for an hour is punishment enough, if you ask me.
Because I wouldn't want to lose.
It feels like
my
I'm
teeth.
Sealed inside of a coffee can.
Then wear them all night.
Thanks for calling.
All right, bye.
Goodbye. Hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, I question the legality of all of this. Was that alien overage?
Some people just don't have a clue. The number here is 201-678-7743. Punishment has been on a lot of people's minds this week in this country. And I guess because of the student in Singapore, 17 or 18 years old, I think he's 18, who was convicted of vandalism, graffiti involving a paint can and an automobile. And this fellow was rounded up with six other teenagers, I think all from different countries. I don't know if they were all Americans, but there is some concern that his punishment, or the punishment they would like to enact, which is six lashes, is too severe. And it's been interesting to hear what people have had to say in this country about this kind of severe punishment. Most people are in favor of it. Most people, when they first hear about this and they first hear that Singapore is a extremely clean place and a place that is crime-free, where women are safe to walk the streets at night, they think, okay, well, I would trade some personal liberty. I would trade some personal freedoms. I would trade a lot of things, including my own, very own flesh, for that kind of atmosphere to live in and work in and raise my children in. But I don't know if I could. I don't know if I could make that trade. I don't know if emulating Singapore is the kind of thing that we want to do here. I mean, what about all that crap that went around when communism was falling and when these countries all over were adopting new forms of government and they decided, hey, let's look to America. Let's copy their form of democracy. It's the only one that seems to have worked for as long as it has. And then did we then say, well, you know what? Let's copy their form of punishment. Let's graft their form of punishment onto our form of democracy. Because we're far too lenient. I don't think that was ever said. I don't think that was ever considered. Let me ask this person. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi. Chris, has anyone made clear what exactly a lashing is?
A lashing involves being hit with a heavy piece of... the cane is made from what? I'm not really sure, but it's a pretty substantial piece of whatever it is.
But will these... I mean, they'll recover. It's not like their teeth are going to be knocked out.
Well, no. See, the caning is done by a martial arts expert.
Oh.
The caning is done pretty forcibly so that... By the second blow, the skin is usually broken.
Mm-hmm.
By the third and the fourth blow, they say that most people become unconscious because it is pretty severe.
Mm-hmm.
If you replace the word caning with the word beating or flogging, people might have a different reaction to it. But they use the word caning, and people say, okay, well, the kid's getting hit with a cane, big deal.
Or lashing, if you sort of think that it's not such a big deal, yeah.
But... The father of this child feels that it's a big deal that his kid will be permanently scarred for what really amounts to a youthful indiscretion.
Yeah.
I mean, permanently scarred, meaning that when he goes to the beach every summer from now on, he'll have these scars.
Yeah, I mean...
Because if I'm correct, he doesn't get hit in the hiney. He gets hit on the back.
Uh-huh.
That this caning doesn't involve hitting him on the buttocks, where there is, there's a lot of, on most people's buttocks. I haven't seen this gentleman's buttocks. I haven't been offered the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
But see, the thing is, getting hit on the buttocks is entirely different than someone taking a lashing to your back.
Right.
You know,
right. Sure.
Where the skin is stretched much thinner and there isn't so much underlying mass You know what I'm saying?
Definitely. But there's
also, when my father decided to inflict corporal punishment, it was usually done in that way. It was done so that, you were bent over something, your pants were pulled down, and you were hit with either a belt or whatever was handy, a shoe, whatever it took. And usually it was public. It was done in front of your brothers and sisters. My father was heavily into corporal punishment. And maybe that's why I empathize with this kid. It's just, it's very unpleasant. Now you understand why I'm so angry, right? You're saying, hey, that's why Chris is so angry.
We understand your temper.
Is there anything else you wanted to add to our program?
No, that's okay.
Thanks for calling.
Sure.
It's like being inside a coffee can. Hello, welcome to the air. Someone's playing Tom Waits for me. Thank you, whoever that is. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi. The cane is, did you already get an explanation of what it is?
No.
Okay, it's something like bamboo cane. It's about 5 or 6 feet long and about an inch or an inch and a half thick, and they soak it in brine.
Okay, so that
they
it...
They soak it, and then they hit the guy on his bare behind.
Oh, is it on the behind or is it on the back?
It's on his bare butt.
Uh-huh.
And if you I think you're not tied, but you're leaning up against something, and if you pass, a lot of times people pass out after the first blow, and if you pass out, they have a doctor revive you, and then they tie you up, they lean you over and tie you up, and continue the cane.
Uh-huh. Well, I tell you something, if it meant a clean city, you know what I'm saying? Because after all,
no more Coca-Cola cans.
What's more
sidewalk.
Important than a clean city? I want to be in a clean city.
No more for a few cigarette butts. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, people have been
with a little pain for those trash on the ground. Right?
Gee, sometimes I wish I did your standard talk show so people would call and say, "Hell, I'd forget caning him. I'd cut his head off if it was me." Why, that little rapscallion.
I read about this in the Post the other day at work, and I couldn't believe that they seemed to be condoning it. And I told some of my coworkers about this in shock. And then my coworkers said, "Well, yeah, they ought to just go ahead and let him have it."
Oh yeah.
They ought to
That's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm hearing at my workplace.
Yeah.
At my workplace, I'm hearing the very same thing. I'm hearing people say, "Hey, look, we're fed up. We've had it. We've had it with all this crime."
Yeah, and otherwise,
you know, we've had it with all
people.
But the funny thing is, sir, and let me pause here to give out the phone number. It's 201-678-7743, is most of these people haven't even been victimized by any kind of crime. And most of what they're doing is they're having this complete knee-jerk reaction to the things they see in the media every day. And
well,
there's an atmosphere of fear.
Well, I think people want revenge. They don't think about actually preventing crime. They want revenge, and revenge is not something to solve any problems. It just makes
revenge
you
is
feel
a dish
good.
Best eaten cold.
What?
I just said revenge is a dish best eaten cold.
Right.
Okay.
Just think about that next time you want to punch somebody.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there was no thinking that was going on Tuesday night. I was not thinking.
There you go.
There was no thought process.
And that's
what
caning is. Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Hello, welcome to the air.
I thought there's a significant difference between someone doing something like that in Singapore and someone doing it here. I mean, I'm in favor of the kid getting it, but I'm not in favor of us adapting that form of punishment. I think a lot of people I've talked to feel the same way.
Why, are you saying that he should have been sufficiently aware of the consequences of his actions? Because he was in a foreign country?
Yes. Yeah,
have you ever traveled?
Like
have you ever traveled abroad?
Yeah, I have.
Where have you gone?
I've gone to Germany, I've gone to Canada, I've gone to Mexico.
Are you completely cognizant of the laws of those three countries?
No, which is why I'm especially careful not
uh-huh.
to
okay.
screw around.
So that makes you extremely cautious.
Well, it makes me cautious when I'm in a foreign country.
Okay. You wouldn't dare run amok in a foreign country is what you're saying.
I wouldn't know.
Okay. How old are you?
I'm 23.
23.
I mean, I think the kid's stupid for doing that.
I agree with you. I think it was a stupid thing he did. I think if it was up to me, and you can't say much because it is another country and it's their government and their laws, and I think you have to abide by them. But if it was up to me, you know, the kid's parents would have to pay some kind of fine, and then they would take care of punishing their own child.
Well, as far as that, I mean, the issue seems to more revolve around American people in other countries feeling like they're somehow special and somehow protected because they're Americans. You know, they expect that they go to the embassy and expect them to get them out of whatever kind of trouble they're in.
You know, there's other issues at play here. There's other issues, including the fact that this kid was picked up with a bunch of other people, and he may have been rounded up, and he may not have had anything to do with it. You know, his father still feels that he was innocent.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for calling.
Sure.
I should tell you at this point a story, something that happened to me when I was visiting San Francisco in 1984. At the time, I was friends with this this fella named Paul, who was in the midst of becoming a skinhead. And he said to me, well, if you ever get out to San Francisco, come down to Golden Gate Park. I usually hang out down there. So I was actually visiting Berkeley, and I wanted to see San Francisco. So I went on like a Friday evening at like 9:30. I went to San Francisco. Now, you would think in a city that big, you're not going to locate one person. But lo and behold, I followed the first two skinheads I saw. And I asked them if they knew this fellow Paul from New York, and sure enough, they did. So they took me in. We were coming back from the grocery store, and I was carrying a sack of groceries when one of the little skinhead slash urchins saw a Mondale bumper sticker on a car, because Mondale was running for president in 1984, and he heaved a rock through the car window. And we all began running. Suddenly, I found myself running with an arm full of beer and potato chips. And I know that if I had gotten nabbed at that point, if somehow this had been witnessed by the police, or somehow the police had gotten wise to us, that I could have protested my innocence until the end of the earth. It didn't matter. I mean, here I was running down the street with a bunch of skinheads who had just broken a rather expensive piece of auto glass. So what was I going to say? I just happened to be running down the street, and I just happened to know these people, but I didn't have anything to do with it. Do you think one of those people would step forward and say, I'm the guy that heaved the rock? More likely is that one of them would rat out somebody else who didn't actually do it. The person who did it would say, well, you know, it wasn't me. It was so-and-so. So I guess I do. I have several different kinds of empathy for this kid. I can understand the peer pressure involved here. I can understand the fact that he's running with a bunch of kids who, you know, may or may not be doing devious things. Maybe he's not a bad kid. We don't know. We don't know this kid. But he's been vilified. He's been painted as this villain. I mean, you know, people don't even think of him as an actual human being. He's become such a symbol. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hey, Chris.
Hi.
I think there's so many sides to this. One of them that really bugs me is that we want to give this kid special treatment. He's a rich American kid, and you know, I don't want to see him get caned. It's a torture. It's a cruel torture.
Right.
I don't want to see him get this kind of punishment. I don't want to see any Singaporean or anyone get this kind of punishment.
Right.
We're very, you know, we're just thinking about this kid. Don't cane this kid. Nobody's saying, Singapore, don't do this.
Well, it's...
There's nothing we can say. It's not our country. But there's no formal protest, any kind of human rights protest against Singapore saying, this is really nasty punishment.
Well, you don't know that because it's quite possible that this kind of incident is just what is needed to focus some light on the kinds of human rights abuses that may be going on in other countries. But you're crossing a very fine line. There's a really fine line between saying you are abusing people, you're abusing your citizens, and that this form of punishment is far too severe, and meddling in another country's affairs. Because we have traditionally been meddlers. We have always meddled in other countries' affairs. where our interests are at stake.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe we don't have interests at stake in Singapore. Maybe there's no United Fruit over there. Maybe there's no interest that we really need to protect and say, okay, well, this has gone too far. So you never, I mean, there's not going to come a point that the United States is going to step into the affairs of Singapore and say, hold it, you're being really severe. Whether it's severity dished out towards Americans or Singaporeans, or is that what you would call them, Singaporeans?
I guess what I called them. I don't know if that's the right term.
Sounds good enough to me. But you see what I'm saying here is like you run into real difficulty when you start telling other countries how they should run their government. And I know we traditionally have done that.
Yeah.
But, you know, what do you...
I hear that. But in all the columns I've read and every columnist known in their two cents, I haven't heard that angle at all.
Which is that
it's cruel to do that to a kid. And Bill Clinton has made a phone call. George Bush was over there, and he's made a plea.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't heard any talk that a plea was made that, you know... I think people's attitude is it's okay to whip the yellow people, but don't whip the white people.
Thanks for calling. Let me grab another call here. Okay. It's very interesting you say that because you know it becomes apparent when you see news reports of plane crashes in distant lands, and they always talk about how many Americans were on board, and they always talk about how many New Jerseyans were on board, and then they want to tell you how many residents of East Orange were on board. I mean, the idea is that they want to be able to say, hey, he's one of us. That person that died on that plane was a neighbor of mine. They want to be able to bring the story home. And what ends up happening is you begin feeling less and less like other people have anything to do with you. They're so distant and removed that they don't even exist as far as you're concerned. I mean, the guy from my village exists. He was a guy from my village. You know, but if you go into my hometown and you look at the honor roll of men who died in foreign wars, you only see the names of the guys from that town. You know, you don't see all of the names of everybody who died in World War One. These are some of the words I'm having a hard time pronouncing now. World War Two, or any other major conflict, you don't see all of their names. These are the guys from the little town of Lindenhurst. And that's all we're concerned about. Because they were our hometown boys. So, there's something dangerous about that. And at the same time, there's something nice about it. It's this weird thing going on there. Hello, welcome to the air.
I'd just like to say, I think that turkey is also a dish that's best served.
Thank you. Hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, hi, Chris.
Hi.
You ever see the cartoon where these two Laps, you know, these people from Lapland, they're standing there next to their reindeer, and the one guy's reading a paper, and it says, you know, there's an explosion in Belfast, no Laps were injured?
Uh-huh. No, I have yet to see that cartoon.
Anyway, But the Singaporean thing...
Jim, should we play your theme?
Nah.
No?
Nah.
Okay, go ahead.
The people in Singapore, they're really reveling in this.
Why is that?
Digging it. Because it's a chance to like thumb their nose at being told what to do by Americans and Europeans.
Aha! Uh-huh. There's something very powerful about that idea too.
Because they have a whole history over there of like you know having to kowtow to the West. And, you know, to have the West over the barrel, like literally like this, is a real big thrill. And plus, they're, you know, it's a way of them saying that you can't dictate the way we administer justice and have our form of government over here.
Well, I hate to say it, but I kind of agree with that. I mean, I don't think that we can dictate. Unless there are certified human rights abuses
Singapore is brimming with stuff that we would call certified human rights abuses. I mean, what this kid underwent is, I think most Western people would call certified civil rights abuses. But basically what they're saying is, yeah, this is our way of doing things. What are you going to do about it?
Well...
And... You know, they Their point is, you people are over. You're so into your trumpeting individual rights, you know, and your society is a mess. The president of Singapore called U.S. United States a white trash society.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
Them's fighting words.
Yeah, and he said, and they say, well, you know, you're American.
Tim, I've been to the Kmart recently. I would have to agree with you.
Well, yeah.
But hey, we're the best white trash society this world has ever seen. Yes.
You know, look at we have the best tattoos in the world.
We're going to climb up one side of that guy's head and down the other.
Yep.
Boy, he better be careful.
Yeah. So,
I didn't know he said that. That's
pretty
good.
Yeah, he said we were a white trash society.
white trash and proud, pal.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's another thing going on here, and that is that, you know, when you talk about the Constitution and you talk about the idea that the Constitution was created to protect individual rights and to protect the minority from the majority and not vice versa. The Constitution doesn't exist to leave the minority open to the whims of the majority.
It also doesn't
exist
in Singapore.
Okay. Well, hey, I happen to be a big fan of the Constitution.
I'm a big fan of the Constitution.
And I don't want to see us adopting the severe forms of punishment and the severe forms of government that other countries have for the sake of clean streets. I really don't think I would much rather walk down a filthy street and know that I don't have to worry about getting caned because I overstepped some stupid boundary, some arbitrary boundary that someone has established. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, Singapore's a scary, scary, scary place.
Well, there's another issue here, too. We go into all kinds of divergent issues, which is why, you know, why weren't these people made aware of that? Are these people traveling abroad completely unaware of the atmosphere that they're in, completely unaware of the types of local laws that they might be transgressing?
Not really.
You know?
Probably not. It would probably be hard to be over in Singapore and not know what the penalties are.
Well,
when you get off the plane, you have to sign. I know this woman who went over there. She said, when you get off the plane, you have to sign a document that attests that if you're caught with drugs, it's a death penalty.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm never going to Singapore. Thanks for calling.
Don't go to Singapore. It's a horrible, horrible place, but very prosperous and very, you know, capitalism in action.
Thanks for calling, Jim.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hey, Chris T.
Yes.
How you doing?
Okay.
I would like to say that kid, what he should do is he should take the beating.
Okay, and I don't want to hear the rest of that. Hello, welcome to the air.
Chris T?
Yes.
Yeah, hi. I was the guy sitting next to you when the shot was being filmed.
Oh, right, yes, okay.
Yeah, so,
this is Pasquale?
Yes, Pat, yeah.
Pat, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
okay.
Whatever. I heard your show before with a couple of my other friends. I wanted to say, man, nobody can really pick your fate or your punishment. You must really atone and feel down deep inside yourself why you did what you did.
Oh, I agree with you.
You know, so
yeah.
Really... Whatchamacallit? I don't know. You know what I mean?
Very well put.
Very well put.
What?
And you shouldn't have hit anybody because accidents like that happen, and, you know.
I agree with you. I the first thing I said is I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, I where do you go from there? After you say I shouldn't have done this,
mm-hmm.
Then where do you go? I mean, do you go seek forgiveness, which is what I was trying to do? I was trying to say, okay, well, I know I realized I shouldn't have done it. It happened. I'm trying to make it right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, all things happen for a purpose. And even if the what's happening at the time being is unclear, it will be resolved at the end. Everything happens for a reason. It's God's way.
Okay, thanks.
That's what I think, man. So, I don't know.
Well,
I'll see you around, man.
Thanks for calling, Pat.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye. There was a witness, an eyewitness, to the loss of my teeth. Or the bottoms of my teeth. I now have a snaggletooth look. My dentist, Dr. James Brown, the hardest working dentist in show business, was talking to me Wednesday about, you know, cosmetic restoration, my choices, porcelain laminates, that kind of thing. I don't know if I want to have beautiful teeth, though. I might begin to envy them. I might begin to think that, I should tear them out or something. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hey, how are you?
It's Mick from Lodi.
How are you, Chris?
Oh, Lord. Hey, stuck in Lodi again.
Don't make me laugh, Chris. Hey, Chris, you know, even without those two teeth, you sound the same. But you
Mick,
know
what's happened to your mouth? That's what I want to know.
Oh, my mouth.
There's strange things going on in your mouth.
Yes, there is. And I don't know.
What the hell is that?
I'll try to make a long story short.
Something rattling around in there, Mick.
I just had brand new teeth put in about a week and a half ago.
Really?
On the top.
You're kidding me.
No.
By who?
That. I'll mail them to you if you want. I got an extra set.
Who's the butcher who put those things in?
No, but they're... Oh,
can you take them out? Take them out for a minute, Mick? Let's see.
I'll take them right out, and you tell me if you can hear the difference, okay?
Okay.
I got them in now, and I'm going to take them out.
Well...
Okay, here we go. Now, can you hear the difference in the way I talk?
You sound better.
You know, you're the second guy that told me that. They said you sound better with a mouth. But I said, my wife... Keep them out. My wife thinks I look like an old man with them out. I got to keep them in.
Mick, you look like an old man anyway. Come on. Who are you kidding?
Okay, Chris.
Yes, Mick.
I just called you to try to cheer you up. But, you know, if everything works out right, you can consider me your punishment for calling you.
Oh, okay, great.
Okay,
well,
so
yeah.
Now you're relieved, and you could go back to doing the thing that you got to do.
Okay, thanks, Mick.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Whew. Punishment. What a powerful concept. The punishment will fit the crime. Cruel and unusual punishment. Well, the number here is 201-678-7743. And you're listening to Aerial View on WFMU Uppsala College East Orange. We're here for another 12 minutes. Following this program is William Berger with a program devoted strictly to music, a free-form music program called The Hip Bone. You should be here for that. Hello, welcome to the air.
Are you 100% against the punishment?
Am I 100% against caning?
Against, yeah, the punishment for the crime he committed.
No, I said that I don't know that we can interfere in another country's form of government and the way they want to treat their citizens.
Okay.
Unless there's certifiable human rights violations that could be documented by an independent organization like Amnesty International or whoever we would elect to do that. I don't know.
Right.
You know, I think if there's enough cases of, you know, people coming forward from that country, or if you investigate and you find out, well, hell, you know, these people are being flogged to the point of death, or they're, you know... There comes a point where it becomes a wider problem. You know what I mean?
I know what you're saying. I think what the problem is that there's no real solution to crime. I mean, the solution isn't in Singapore. The solution isn't here.
The solution lies within yourself.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, human nature is not. I mean, crime is part of human nature. I mean, it's like you saw The Clockwork Orange, or you read the book.
Yes, that was a very powerful message.
Yeah,
Anthony
I mean,
Burgess. I was going to bring that up actually because I.
Yeah, the
did.
Book.
We have a soundbite here from Clockwork Orange that we played earlier in the program,
right.
But the idea of Clockwork Orange was that, you know, if you take away a person's choice to perform good or evil, if you provide such a barrier to that person finding their own barometer, as it were, then what do you have? You have a Clockwork Orange, you have an automaton, you have a person who is acting out of fear.
Very well stated.
And out of nothing else.
And it's about also growing up. I mean,
I don't want to be motivated by fear, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
And the book says that, you know, eventually you grow up and you grow out of it.
Well, supposedly there was a lost chapter to that book.
Oh, you haven't read that chapter?
Yeah, I've read the lost chapter. I don't know if I buy it or not. It sounds a little too neat for me. But when Stanley Kubrick made the movie, Anthony Burgess says that he conveniently left the last chapter out because
right,
he felt
well,
it was
published without the chapter in New York.
Right. Well, that's what it said. It said that, you know, the last chapter made it into the European version where Alex, your faithful narrator, grows up and out of his wild ways and decides that he's going to marry.
You don't buy that he would grow up.
Well, I'm not saying that I don't buy that. I just, the way that all these ends were tied up so neatly in that last chapter led me to believe that it was a reaction to, you know, years of a perception that the movie had put forth, you know. And I would like to see a first copy edition of Clockwork Orange released in Europe to be able to prove to myself that that was indeed the missing final chapter.
Yeah, I believe it, though.
Okay.
I mean,
well, mister, you're a better man than I. You know, I'm from Missouri.
And he explains it in the introduction to one of the editions of the book, where it's the 21st chapter. It's the whole symbolism of growing up at 21, maturing. I don't know. It's an interesting concept, anyway.
Well, someday we'll read it on the air. Thanks for calling.
Okay, thanks.
For all of you folks who have never read the missing last chapter of Clockwork Orange, hello, welcome to the air.
Hi.
Yes.
I'd like to talk about this caning thing. I don't really think that it's fair for you to say that there's cruel and unusual punishment going on here, because cruel and unusual punishment only applies to people who live in the United States. And I don't think it's fair to try and apply
this that. Conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
Hello, welcome to the air.
Is it FMU?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
Well, are you listening to yourself coming out of the other room? Is that
no,
it?
No, I'm not listening to myself.
Yes, well, don't think about it too long. Just say the first thing that pops into your mind.
Cabbages.
Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi, is this FMU?
Yes, it is.
Hi, I was, I just wanted to make a comment about the caning.
You're welcome to.
That I wonder if is anyone aware of the ramifications of a foreign national being punished in the United States, and what would happen if a similar occurrence happened here?
Oh, but how would it? How would that happen here, considering that we don't have such severe forms of punishment?
Well, see, that's the benefit of the United States. But my issue is, what do we do with foreign nationals who commit crimes in this country?
I guess we treat them according to our laws.
True,
our laws.
In most instances, but in other instances, we deport them.
Well, do we punish them first and then deport them?
Not always.
Well, see, I'm kind of hazy on that. I couldn't tell you. The only thing I know for certain is that diplomats get away with murder.
Well,
and maybe what we should do is we should say that every American traveling abroad is a diplomat and allow them diplomatic immunity. So anytime I step outside of this country, I could just go crazy. You know what I mean?
That's an interesting idea. But
just
I think
picture hordes of Americans running down the Champs-Élysées and just taking Frenchie and picking him up over their heads and bashing him on his pointy little beretted head.
Sure.
And then running up on the Eiffel Tower and, like, painting in all different colors and stuff. You know,
well,
just
you see, what my issue originally is that, you know, that a lot of foreign nationals can come to this country and commit crimes and not suffer the same sort of punishments that they would suffer in their own countries. And I wonder if there is any sort of program that we could initiate to institute some kind of comedy, you know, an equalization of punishment, let's say.
Aha, an equalization of punishment. Sounds to me like the arms race. Sounds to me like balance of power.
Could be. I mean, I think.
Where are you? Are you in the middle of a subway station or something?
No, I'm on my cellular phone. I'm driving home from work, and I found this conversation to be rather interesting, and I don't know. I wonder if anyone else has any ideas about this, because it's obvious that this issue is it reflects much more than just some poor schmuck who's going to get hit with a stick. It's obvious that it reflects a lot of
spare the rag, spoil the child.
Well, you know, it's a lot of political crap that's going on.
Yeah.
And I agree with the person who said that the people in Singapore are getting off on it. Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
So we're all in agreement.
Yeah, it's a shame, but
makes for boring show, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I want one person to disagree with me.
Well, listen, if anybody out there has any ideas about this, I'd like to hear from them.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, if anybody out there has any ideas, we'd like to hear from you at 201-678-7743. We're down to this scant 5-minute mark on this program, and we have been talking about punishment. Crime and punishment, letting the punishment fit the crime. Cruel and unusual punishment. And just plain punishment. Hello, welcome to the air.
question for Chris T.
Okay.
Am I speaking with Chris?
Yes, you are.
Okay, hi, Chris. My name is Denise, and I have a question for you. Really, this question concerns my brother.
Okay.
His name is Tom, and he's got a broken nose. I was wondering if you know anything about how this happened. I believe it happened last Tuesday night.
Yes, last Tuesday night. That's when I broke his nose. I hadn't mentioned his name yet, though. We have been talking about this for most of this program. Have you been listening to it?
No, I have not been.
Okay.
To be honest with you, I live in upstate New York.
Right.
And so I'm not local to your area, but I thought I could ask you a little bit about that and try to understand a little bit about why it happened.
Okay, well, as I explained at the beginning of my program, which was about an hour ago,
yes.
I explained the circumstances surrounding this this event.
Uh-huh.
And are you saying now that you have no awareness of this whatsoever? You don't know what happened?
I really do, and I love my brother dearly, and he's a very nice guy, and I really think that he meant no harm, and I think he was only had good intentions.
I think that's why I feel so bad about what happened. I mean, I understand that your brother is a very nice guy, and I understand that he's one of the nicest people I've ever known, and
uh-huh.
what I did was wrong, and all I tried to do was seek forgiveness and say to your brother, you know, I'm really sorry. I just lost my temper entirely.
Okay. Listen, where I am, it's a little loud, so okay.
Where are you?
Well, I live in Saugerties, New York.
Okay.
And where I am, I have just left from work, and so it's a little loud. Listen, I'm very happy that I got through to you. And the thing is, I spoke with my brother, and I saw you, and I was a teenage mommy.
Okay.
And I have never met you, but
right.
my name is Denise, and I live upstate New York.
Right.
And I really was wondering why this happened. I felt so badly, because my brother is a very nice guy, and I really think he meant no harm to you.
Well, as I was trying to say, Denise, and as I've been trying to say throughout this whole program, I don't know why it happened either. As
uh-huh.
far as I'm concerned, I lost my mind temporarily, and I was extremely angry. And I can't take it back. It's done. You know, I wish I could say that I could take it back and that I hadn't have done it. But,
uh-huh.
you know, I can't. All I can do is apologize and try to make it up to him. I mean,
right.
I realize that he's a great guy, and I think that it's one of the first things I said to him when I tried to apologize.
Okay. You know what I'd like to say to you, Chris, is this. I'm very happy that I got through to you because I did try for a very long time.
I'm happy to.
To you on the air, and I'm really happy that you feel that way.
Okay.
I really am, and I'll tell you something. It makes me feel a lot better because I heard about this event after it happened, and I felt very badly. I had very terrible dreams over this, believe it or not. I slept badly, and it really upset me, and it does make me feel a lot better to know that you feel sorry over this event. And I just want you to realize that Tom only had good intentions for you.
I understand.
And I hope that there are no hard feelings.
I hope so, too.
That's
thanks
really
for calling.
Good. Okay, thank you so much. Have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Talking to the sister of the fellow whose nose I broke the other day. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hello.
And that may be the strangest phone call I've gotten in the 5 years of doing this program.
Maybe.
Yes, except for this one, right? You're going to say.
No.
Okay.
I'm trying to be normal, but...
You're not succeeding. I've got to go soon. Hello, welcome to the air.
Chris, I just wanted to say that I am so happy that I got through to you.
Okay. This program is now over until next week. You're listening to WFMU Uppsala College East Orange, and the name of this program is Aerial View. And what follows next is a program of music, the Hip Bone program, hosted by William Berger. His special... in-studio musical guest tonight is Fluffer. Yes, that's right. Fluffer is here, and they will be playing for you very shortly. Stay tuned.